That true? Listen up. I know firsthand how limited a vessel medical insurance can be. This is why you need reliable medical coverage. Moore Dixon offers comprehensive global insurance tailored for yachts, covering everything from emergencies to routine checkups with flexible options and a single point of contact. Moore Dixon has been voted best health and medical insurance by captains and crew, including myself. Don't wait until the unexpected happens. Get covered today. Visit mdbl.im or email them at inquiries@mdbl.im for a free quote. Hi, everyone. Today, we're diving into the realities of harassment in hospitality and yachting, getting real and uncensored, of course, with Halima Ferreira. Halima is a private chef and the founder of Tailored Taste, where she blends food, wellness, and education to make an impact worldwide. But beyond her success, Halima has a story of survival and transformation. She has faced harassment in both hospitality and the yachting industry, maritime world, and she's here to share how she turned those experiences into resilience, strength, and growth. Welcome, Halima, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Marianne. What I'd love to do is to start with opening with a mantra, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
It's about awareness and strength. I honor truth. I honor safety. And I honor my voice. Today, we speak light into the shadows and courage into every moment we were made to feel small. Awareness is the first step to healing, and healing begins when we no longer stay silent.
Yes. Amen to that.
Powerful. Yeah.
And that's what this conversation is about. Speaking up, sharing real stories, really empower others to find their voice.
So strength.
You know, you have been part of the hospitality industry, you know, the kitchens and the restaurants, super high-end, and also in the yachting industry as a chef and the private sector. When you first entered the industry, what hit you the hardest about being a woman in a male-dominant space?
I think the hardest thing about being a woman was realizing how much I had to harden to survive. It was about, you know, the pressure to fit in, the constant scrutiny, the unspoken rule that softness equaled weakness for us. And I learned really early that the visibility was actually, you know, something that will come at a cost, but silence would come at a higher one.
So I know we have talked this previous to the show. I know that you, when you were in cruise ships specifically, you were, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, the only woman there.
Yes.
How was that for you? Like how, because obviously you were younger, you came in with the mindset of thriving, of learning, of adventure. And then all of a sudden this space hit you in an unexpected way. So how can you dive in a little bit about that? Because
sure.
I feel like even in yachting, a lot of us, even though there's maybe one or two other women, it's still not the majority, right? So we're still in a dominant
100%.
Space.
I was the only female with 200 men in a galley. It was my first boat and my first ever physical experience with sexual harassment was actually on that boat. And that happened with somebody who was my senior chef. They'd walked in behind me into the walk-in fridges that you have, and he groped me, felt me up, and he threatened me. And he basically said to me that if I wanted to make my life easier, I had to sleep with him and do whatever he wanted. And that was, for me, that was just a no-go. So I went straight to the executive chefs and I eventually left the ship because I was like, no, and I tried to get him blacklisted. So I took action straight away.
And when you took action and you spoke, did they support you?
Not a lot of support at all because he'd been with the company for a very long time. He was in a senior position. So it was easier to sort of get rid of me because I was the noise, right? And I was trying to voice something up. So there was no, back in the day, there was no sort of speak up guardian. There was nobody that you could, you know, there's no crew welfare on board. So besides the purser's office or your executive chef or your upline, there was nobody that you could really speak to. So it was very scary, one. Two, it was like, I felt so uncomfortable every time I went into the galley, you know, because I kept having these, he would stare at me, you'd have, you know, because you, the environment was just very uncomfortable. It became so uncomfortable to the point that I asked to leave. I couldn't take it. It wasn't good.
So this is on a cruise ship where there's human resources, where's the DPA, mm-hmm. where there's mm-hmm. all these things that are available that usually, in sadly, most boats in the yachting sector do not have this available. Because sometimes, you know, the captain is the management, the HR, everything, right? Like, so even when you had all this, you still didn't get the support that you should have gotten.
No.
Where do you think where's the missing gap? What's still missing? Even when you have all this, you know, DPA and management and HR and purser, what's missing there?
The personal element of actually listening to what people are going through. That personal element of she's a woman, she's in this space, safety, is number one. The empathy, the compassion towards actually listening to what someone's going through. For them, it's, you see, because in the kitchens, it's about banter, isn't it? It's jokes. There's those innuendos that happen in hospitality, especially in the kitchens. It's very sexual. It's very, you know, a lot of, it depends. You have to see where it depends on the person as well. But there's a lot of that happens. But when it starts, the touching and the groping and the, you know, when it's in your personal space, it's not acceptable.
I think the reality is, and I think you mentioned that, you know, the banter, because we see this often in specifically in the yachting industry. There's a lot of banter. Yeah. There's so many different cultures. Some people 100%. Tend to banter more, others don't.
Yeah.
But what I do want to make it very clear to everybody who's listening is that if the comment that is being done towards you, because sometimes it's words, it's not even like an actual harassment of a touch, right?
Like
a physical touch. Even if whatever they're telling you, if you're not welcoming that, if you're not okay with that, if you're not comfortable with that, is harassment, you know? Because a lot of time we say, oh, well, you know, in banter, yeah, but are you okay with the banter? Because if you're not, then you are being harassed in a way, right? Like, you don't have to take it if you're uncomfortable with it. And I think that's
absolutely
there's that fine line of like, oh, well, they didn't mean it that way. I'm like, yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's a professional environment. And if if the person doesn't feel comfortable, you should be able to say, hey, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Let's, you know, regroup and move forward in a professional way. But that doesn't tend to happen. People tend to just not say anything. Or even when they do speak up, because recently it happened with a girl that I was supporting, a stewardess, she said to me, you know, the owner is making these comments about my sexy hands because she was a masseuse.
Yeah.
She didn't feel comfortable. So I said, you know, let's talk about it. Let's talk with the owner, with the captain, everybody. She set boundaries. And then they basically shamed her by then now making comments of, now I cannot make a comment about your sexy hands. So now you're shaming the person. You're putting the person in the spot. So you're even harassing the person even further.
Yeah.
You know? So, and then, you know, the people kept telling me, oh, but that's just banter. They didn't mean it in a wrong way. It does not matter. It's a professional environment. They don't know each other. They don't have a personal relationship, you know? Right. So it seems to be a fine line, but it really isn't. It's pretty white and black, you know, to an extent.
Yeah, I think understanding what constitutes harassment, right? So you've got verbal, you've got your insults, sexual comments, jokes. Then you've got non-verbal, your staring, gestures, following, messages. Then you've got your psychological. So gaslighting, manipulation, undermining your confidence. This is a big one on boats. Yeah. That's what they do to you. That happened to me a lot. Then the sexual side, the unwanted touching and the coercion of, you know, it's just what happens on boats, isn't it? People have just left it. They said, oh, that's just what happens. But they don't realize how serious that is and how insecure it makes you feel. It breaks your confidence. You feel very vulnerable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, bullying is a type of harassment.
Yeah,
so that's 100%. Kind of what you're, you know, what you mentioned there.
Definitely.
So, looking back, what are the subtle things that you now recognize as harassment that maybe you brush off as normal before? In the name of banter or in the name of, I don't know, something else.
Being spoken over, touched without consent is a big one. You know, even if it's on the shoulder or something, I think it's still one of those. Being dismissed for speaking up, definitely. I also think that there's harassment inside and behind some jokes, you know, when it comes to tradition or hierarchy or people's cultures. And basically, I think if it disturbs your pee, you know that there's something wrong, right? Your intuition should kick off. That's wrong. Your gut should tell you.
Absolutely. And, you know, people tend to not understand that we all have different traumas. We all come different backgrounds. Things 100%. That happen to us that we don't tell people. So if, for example, I have been physically abused as a child, my boundaries of physical touch are going to be completely 100%. Different from somebody who had a completely different childhood. And we need to, as individuals, you know, think about this, because we tend to, we're so, you know, it's such a close environment. Like, we're so together, you know, in every shape and form. I mean, the crew mess on a 40-meter yacht, you know what I mean?
Like,
you're
on top
of each other, right? So we have to be really mindful of 100%. How we interact, and we need to bring the professionality aspect of it, because I feel like we're always saying, like, oh, this is like a family. Yeah, but what? Family doesn't equal harassment. Family doesn't equal crossing boundaries, you know? So it could be a friendly environment, but yet that, I think the professionalism is missing all across, you know, the border.
Boundaries. It's boundaries.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to. And that's why I'm such a huge advocate of, like, you need to know your boundaries. 100%. You need to know what you're okay with and what you're not okay. And boundary not meaning like an armor, but a boundary of like, hey, this is where I feel comfortable and where I don't feel comfortable, you know, and speaking up about it, you know. I remember when I was harassed, because then there's the bystanders.
Yep.
Right. So I kind of want to go through that, because obviously people are looking at what's happening to you. It's impossible for others not to see what's happening to you. So I'm going to give you my example, and then I would like for you to tell me what did that look like for you. So I was on a vessel and I was down doing housekeeping. I saw the owner went into the cabin. So I was like, okay, I'm going to wait for him to, you know, finish. I kept waiting. I was like, oh, I'm just going to go and, you know, but kind of see if the door's open or not. The door was open. So I just went peek, but I wasn't even like near the door. I was actually like 5-6 feet away. And the door crosses down to the bathroom door. So I could see obviously the bathroom door, but then the bathroom door was open and he was standing there naked with his genitals, you know, erected and literally like waiting for me to look, you know. It was pretty obvious. So I looked and I was like, oh, okay. So I just went upstairs. I had all the laundry with me. I went up into the galley and there were like, most of the crew was there. And I said to them, I was like, oh my God, like I just saw this, like this just happened. And I was in shock in a way. And everybody around me started laughing. And in that moment, even though I knew that was wrong, I said, oh, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Just laugh it off. Yeah. Right? Because they were so looking back now, obviously, because they were so uncomfortable with what just happened to me. They just, their reaction was to laugh. Oh, it's not a big thing. Like, making jokes about his penis, whatever. And I was like, okay, well, don't make a big deal about this, because obviously it shouldn't be, because look at how everybody's reacting and how the bystander reacts, whether he's supportive to you or not. That's it makes a huge difference on the victim.
100%.
What the next step is going to be. Because if they would have been like, oh my God, Marianne, I'm sorry this happened to you. Like, this is not okay. This is not professional. Go talk to the captain. I would have actually talked to the captain. But because everybody just laughed it, I actually didn't go and spoke about it.
Yeah,
wasn't
and deferred it.
After. I actually even thought it wasn't harassment at that time. Even though my first instinct was, wow, this is not okay. I did not ask for this. This is not okay in any shape and form.
Yep.
I still made myself believe, no, it's fine. That's not harassment. Because of how the bystander reacted. So how has that been for you?
I think what it's taught me is that boundaries start with myself. And you need to set them with other people. So boundaries start with you. You need to set them with other people. You need to ask, where am I betraying my own needs, my own feelings, my own thoughts? And I think I began noticing things when I said yes and actually felt no. Exactly like you. Like, oh, yes, this is wrong, but no, it's deflected. Maybe it's actually not that serious because nothing, there was no physical contact or something, right? But still, it's traumatic to you and it's a shock to your system. And I think what's really happened to in my life, I've stayed, you know, silent sometimes, you know, to keep peace or not to create conflict in different situations, right? Because it's not just a one-time thing. It's patterns that happen, it's different forms of harassment. And I think it begins with you in your internal moral compass of boundaries aren't punishment, they're protection. And they begin with telling yourself the truth, even when it's uncomfortable.
And what was your experience with the bystanders when you have been harassed or, you know, any other like bully or whatever has been you have gone through that, you know, other people are seeing what's happening to you? Like, how was that? Like, yeah. Did they supported you? Did they just like brush it off? They ignored it?
Brushed off and fear. Fear of losing their jobs, fear of standing up for somebody else, fear of conflict, all of those things. So knowing that it's wrong, maybe they've seen it before, potentially, but not wanting to say anything because they don't want to rock the boat.
Right.
And so that's the hard part.
This is where leadership skills and really self-development, because,
yes,
you know, that's really what leadership is.
Yes.
Is so important, so you can actually have the skills and the strength and the confidence not to just handle whatever happens your way to you, but to support others that are going through something like this.
Yes.
And I think that's missing a lot, especially from head of departments. They're not developing their skills in this way. So when these things happen, they don't even have the confidence to, or even the skills or the knowledge of how do I
to
handle
do
this, exactly, yep, in a confident way.
You know, you have to identify your feelings, don't you? You've got to name the behavior and say, yes, this is harassment. Speak about it. Journal. You know, for me, it's about recording things. Date and time. Therapy. Have a trusted circle of friends that you can talk to. Potentially someone in the HR department or a helpline that you can say, you know, I need to talk this through because something has really affected you. And you know, if it's affected your peace, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
So we need to listen to ourselves a little bit more, I think.
So let's talk about how all this that you have gone through, how did this affect your mental health and what was like your breaking point? Because I'm sure it wasn't the episode that you told me was not the first or the last one.
There's been different forms of harassment. It's male and female, to be honest with you. And I think harassment is, and bullying, I think, can sometimes be tied into one. And healing for me was very layered, a bit like an onion, you know, peeling away the layers. And therapy gave me the language on what to call it. You know, psychologically, I've seen therapists, hypnotherapists. I had PTSD after some of my jobs, you know, within service as well, you know, in different areas. Somatic breath work helped me to release the trauma from my body. So it was breaking down different things. And then the functional nutrition side helped me rebuild my health from within, to look after my body in a better way. Journaling and reflection gave me space to make sense of what was going on and to write about my feelings and, you know, make sense of what had happened. Faith in the spiritual grounding gave me a bit of perspective. And then it wasn't just, healing wasn't just about fixing. It was about remembering who I was before I was silenced.
Yeah.
I don't know if that resonates with anybody, but it's very layered, right? So you can't just say, it was one thing that helped. For me, it was different things about how I took care of myself and how I processed everything. Because, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're sweating and you're having a panic attack, it's, you know, it's hit you deep and you've got to deal with that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it does take layers of therapy and it's different for everyone. Everyone will have a different, you know, technique. But for me, yeah, it was literally layers of mental, physical, spiritual. I have to go through all of it to ground myself, breathe, breath work, you know, to go, okay, breathe. But we weren't taught coping mechanisms back in the day. So, you know, you panic and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't breathe. I can't feel. I can't think. And then you get this foggy brain. So you're not thinking clearly.
Right.
But I think if we were taught those kind of coping mechanisms back in the day, it would help a lot of things go, okay, right, come back to yourself. You know, the hand breathing, breathe in, breathe out for five. It just centers you. And you're like, okay, what happened? Come back into yourself. Let's process this. Step one, step two, step three. And sometimes just coming back to self, reflecting, and then you start to process.
And I want to share that for me, when it comes down to harassment, it wasn't until I started this podcast that I started to talking to other women about their stories of harassment that it really hit me. Oh my God, Marianne, you have been a victim of this. And you have been lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Thinking it was banter, thinking that didn't happen to you, when in reality, it has. And it has to all of us, whether we accept it or not. And I think for me, the one step, like you said, is many steps on the healing this or journey, I should say. But the first step for me was the acknowledgement that this happened to me. And I was only able to do that when I was speaking to people like you that were able, that had their power, you know, that had their voice and confidence to use it. And then I was like, oh my God, that happened to me. Like, I found my strength in other people's voices. And I thought I had a voice. I thought, you know, and obviously I did in a certain extent, but I was still rejecting that happened to me, you know?
No acceptance.
So I think, like, if you are kind of thinking, has that happened to me? Has that not happened to me? Just really sit with yourself and look, you know, like, be honest with yourself.
Yeah, look
because
inside.
The truth is that more than likely has happened to you somewhere along the line. And then how is that impacting you today? Because it wasn't until I accepted it that I realized, actually, that is still impacting me today. And that's when I started that healing process of that layer, like you said, right? Because it's layers. So today, you are the only woman on a male heavy management team. How now, with like everything you have learned, everything that you have gone through, all the healing that you have done, how do you handle this dynamic as a leader? Because now you're like in the other way, right? Like when you started, you were part of a big team. You were on the bottom layer. And now you're the leader on the top layer. You're the woman. And you're pretty much the only woman. And everybody else is a male. And also it's in a Arab country, which with different cultures as well.
Yeah.
And tell us about that. How? Because that's kind of like a circle, right? Like a
Couple of things, aren't they, there, Marianne? For me, it's I have safe communities and I have supportive networks. Those are two things for me. But I also, I've learned to lead with a calm authority. It's not that I don't lose it, because I do. I'm human, you know, I get pushed. But I've also learned that I don't need to match masculine energy. I redefine what strength looks like, you know? And I think that with my teams, I seem to set the tone through integrity and empathy. And there's a wonderful book by Nicholas Yanni called Leader as a Healer, which I absolutely love. And it's about leading in the world today and how we need to be more empathetic, more compassionate. And I lead and I nurture my teams because I felt that's the best way to win people over as well. And to build teams when people feel loved, cared for, heard, thought about, you know, simple things like remembering someone's birthday. You know, it's just simple little things, but I'm learning to lead in a very different way. So I'm a natural sort of empath. I have compassion. I'm kind. I'm firm. I'm fair, if that makes sense, which is things that we didn't always have. I'm not afraid of accountability. And I actually welcome it. So because I feel like when one woman stands tall, others will start to rise, right? So I want to be that person that motivates other women to go, wow, she's been through a hell of a lot, but she survived it and she's got to the top, you know, and it's encouraging others to go as a mentor, as someone to look up to that I never had. And it's building that structure of, I want people to feel safe when they're with me. I want people to feel my door is an open door policy. You can come and talk to me about anything. And I lead a lot of male, you know, it's funny, people say women are more bitchy, but I have the thing that men are, and it's harder to deal with men and their problems every day. But it's really interesting and it's humbling at the same time to be a woman. And I feel like a mama for a lot of people, you know, because they feel that when people feel hurt, you know, there's something about that, no matter how small or how big it is. And I think that's where it is. But also women, we have attention to detail that men don't have. You know, we can multitask in ways that they can't. And I find that those are strengths. So with my teams, I find that the respect comes when I can do a job that they can't. And that's happened. I've actually had a comment sent to me from somebody who I respect and admire them. They're in a very high position. And they've turned around and they said to me, well, we couldn't have done your job. There's not one person here that could have done your job or done what you've done in such a short span of time. So it's nice to hear those things because it's encouraging to know that you're moving in the right direction and there's some healing along with that. But yes, do I get triggered? Absolutely. I think that's normal when you've been through something, there's always a trigger. But then when the triggers come up, it's a mirror showing you that there's something that's not healed and we need to deal with it. So I'm a work in progress. I'm not perfect. I'm a work in progress. I have hard days. I have good days like anybody else. But I stand my ground. You know, I really stand my ground. I've had moments even now when there are some men that try. It's like bullying, but in a different way. It's in tone. It's in the way they speak to you. It's in the way it could be an email. But I've learned to stand my ground and fight back and go, no, you will not speak to me in this tone. Let's start that again. So you set those boundaries. How do you want people to treat you? So you need to set that expectation for them. Mm-hmm. If you're allowing them to do that and you accept it, it means you're allowing them to treat you and speak to you in that way. And I'm saying, no, I've earned my seat at this table. So you will treat me with respect. We don't have to like each other, but be professional and let's get the job done. And that's kind of how I work. You know, it might sound a bit crazy, but that's sort of the philosophy that, you know, that works for me.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I think, you know, you said that there's something about listening to somebody, and there is, because as a species, we long to belong. We long to feel value, right? Because across all humanity, the one pain point that we all have is that we all feel in some shape or form that we're not good enough.
Yes.
Right? So that we lack value. So when somebody listens to us, doesn't matter what they're, you know, listening to, but when somebody says, hey, I'm going to take the time to actually be present and listen to what you have to say, immediately it hits that sweet spot of like, hey, I have value, so I'm good enough. And I belong, right, to the community. So I think that's why listening to somebody really just does amazing. It's so amazing for everybody, right? And just something so simple like that, because a lot of people think, well, I don't want to listen because I don't have a solution. But that's not the point.
It's not the
you
thing.
As a leader, you don't have to have the solution. You just need to listen, be empathic, and then say, hey, you know what? We're going to work through this together. We're going to figure out a way. And then you get the tools and resources. And I think that's important for our leaders in the industry. It's like, you do not need to know how to fix something. You just have to support the person. And then together, you can get the right tools and resources.
Absolutely.
For young, vulnerable crew that are just starting out, what are the three rules they need to live by to stay safe, in your opinion?
Trust your intuition. It's going to be your first line of defense. I would write things down, document everything. Documentation protects your truth. Find an ally, somebody you can trust. You know, a friend, somebody, whether they're on board or not on board. Because you're never meant to face this alone. And confidence isn't arrogant. It's the clarity about who you are and what you deserve. Mm. So build your boundaries, have confidence, because that also has a prevention to it. Educate yourself, learn your rights and your protections of what are your rights on board, what protects you. Support those who speak out and build inclusive and respectful environments around you. Try and be that better person for the next person, because you don't know the person sitting next to you or working next to you is going through this, you know, if you don't know. But if you, it starts again with you, in you, be that better person. Compassion, education, resource, you know, all those things come into it.
Yeah. And that's the key. Like, leadership doesn't equal head of department.
No.
Leadership starts with you, and you can be a junior member and still be a leader. Be that person that supports the other. Be that bystander that actually holds other people accountable.
100%.
You do not need to be in a head of department role to do that.
Yeah.
It starts, you know, with you, right?
100%.
And absolutely, I agree that learning your rights before something happens is essential. So I highly recommend everybody who's listening to watch our last episodes of Uncensored, we just created a three-part legal series with maritime lawyer Adriano Tari. Amazing information, all your seafarers' rights, breaking down to and what to do if something unexpected happens. So prevention is the key. Education is power.
100%.
If a listener is currently experiencing harassment and feels stuck, what is the first step they must take and what hope can you leave them with?
So steps to protect yourself if you're being harassed, get to safety if you can. Physically step away, if you can step away. Record the details. Note what's happened, when it happened, who was there. Anything you can remember about the scene. Speak to someone external who's not part of that situation. Do not justify or minimize taking action, because this is an act of reclaiming. It's not rebellion. So safety is key. Number one, if you can get away, you get away first. Because you're going to be panicking, you're going to be, you know, it's trying to center yourself and then take the next steps. All right, record this down, write things down. If you have a phone and you've got something, I would take it and record a message, you know, because you forget and remember things around you. I think this is one of the first things to definitely keep in your mind, you know, be your intuition is going to guide you always, you know.
Absolutely. And I think when we're recording, when we're recording what happened to us, I like to always remember of what I saw, what I heard, when it happened, how it made me feel.
Yes.
So we have like the facts, right?
Yes.
So it's not just an emotional thing that we're just writing down, but it's like actual facts with obviously how that made me, you know, how you feel. Well, Halima, thank you so much for sharing your story and your strength with us. For anyone listening who wants to connect with you, learn more about your work or access your services, where is the best place to find you?
LinkedIn is probably one of the best, and it's Halima Ferreira, and my Instagram are probably two of the best places, and that's at Tailored Taste Halima.
You know, all the links are reflected.
Yep. Honestly, happy to help, happy to speak to other people that have gone through it. And I'd love to close with something, Marianne. I always love to close with a mantra, just something that this might help someone out there, and I hope it does. I call this one grounding and renewal. As we close today's conversation, take a deep breath and release what no longer serves you. You are safe, you are strong, and each time you speak truth, the world becomes a little braver. Healing is possible. Awareness is power. Together, we can build a culture where respect isn't negotiable. It's expected.
Thank you so much.
I hope that helps someone out there.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. Take what you need, leave what you don't, and we'll see you on the next Uncensored.
If your brand belongs in the heart of the yachting world, this is where it happens. Yachting International Radio reaches over 1 million yachting professionals and enthusiasts every month with 77 million impressions, 220,000 social followers, and 74,000 podcast subscribers. Our hosts are insiders, crew, captains, CEOs, trusted voices shaping the industry. This is targeted, high-impact advertising in a luxury niche. Visit yachtinginternationalradio.com/advertise. Your audience is already listening.